There you go. Oh. Well, so since the kids are leaving, I said last week I would, what?
Bring out the beer.
I said I would give out donuts to the adults.
Oh, yeah.
Because I said, you know, the kids usually get hyper. What? You must be sick. I'll hand it back to you later. Here, if we could hand these out, I'll bring out napkins so, you know, we could get a little bit of a sugar buzz, so then we could just be like the kids at times. You know, you could have one or two, you know.
Thank you.
They're healthy. These are healthy.
Yeah, right.
These are very...
You made them yourself.
Thank you. You made them yourself?
I did not make these myself. And there was, I had other apple fritters and some other stuff, but they got thrown in the garbage.
What?
I know, I was...
You thought about making them yourself though, didn't you?
I never thought of making them myself.
I'm surprised.
But I thought, since last week I said I'd bring you guys donuts, give you a sugar buzz. And I'll give you this donut, I mean napkin. Well, we got some Smarties. So these are for adults only. So we can hand these out too. There. Okay. So. I froze them.
Oh, okay.
So they last longer. There. So hopefully you're not bouncing off the walls. This is Breakfast of Champions. Well, thanks, my mom. So we have a couple extra calories to get sustain you to lunchtime. Just last week I handed these sheets. Did I give these to you guys? Did you get one?
Yeah.
All three? All three? Yeah.
I missed last week.
Oh, yeah, you're
Thank
sick.
You.
So those prayer sheets, I don't know if you had opportunity to kind of go through it during the week. You didn't get one? I could print one off to you. All right, I'll give you this one. You can share. But as Corrine said this morning, she read the one Ephesians, one of the prayers, because it's good to remind all the promises of God, and to even pray that, you know, as we grow in our faith in Him, that we would actually take hold of His promises. To know that He wants to take us deeper in order to trust Him and to really let go of the flesh. Right? Because a lot of times we have this battle that we want to allow the flesh just to manifest. Because we know that when we come to Christ, we become a new creation. And sometimes we forget that we are a new creation in Christ. And we just like to say, in the flesh. To feed the flesh. Right? So I fed your flesh full of donuts. So now we're going to kind of feed our spiritual man with the Word of God. And so I have this question, how does God want us to live? How does God want you to live?
In obedience.
Yeah, in obedience, righteous. Yeah.
Rejoicing and faithfulness.
Yeah. Okay. To be a servant, yeah. Right? So Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, it says, it's page 1799 in my Bible. But it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because these days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So what is the Lord's will is for us is to abide in Him. Right? We find that in John 15. It says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, right, you will produce much fruit. You'll be healthy. So if we're abiding in Christ, we will know what the will of God is. And if we're not, do you know when you notice sometimes how you feel when you're not abiding in Christ? Mm-hmm. You become dry? Because it says, you would, if you not abide in me, right, there's going to be some branches that dry up. Because Christ is the one who gives us life. He's the one that gives us the nutrients that we need for every day of our life. So when we feel dry, we can say, Lord, what area of my life am I not abiding in you? And Lord, help me to abide in you. Right? Because it's so important for us to abide in Christ. And because John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. We don't want to be like that branch that withers. We want this to be a branch that is being fed and allowing God to feed us. It's trusting in him. Right? And as we read his word, we spend time with him, then we can start to actually start abiding in him. That's because the last couple weeks we've been talking about prayer and how important prayer is in our lives. Prayer is a very vital part of our life. I know sometimes we don't feel like praying, right? However, with those sheets, there's like a template to kind of help us to encourage us to pray. And then from that, you know, you could be praying for other people from that prayer. You could add on to it. Prayer is not something that is burdensome. Prayer is not something that is, oh, I got to do it again. Because it's the same thing. Like, what happens if your wife says, I want to talk to you? And you say, oh, not again. Can you please not talk to me? Because my life would be a lot easier. How would that relationship go?
It doesn't go well.
It doesn't go well.
I've learned from experience.
Right?
I apologize every time.
But we see how, if you put in that kind of perspective, that, you know, what prayer is about, it's communication with God, right? It's communicating with him, listening to him. You are responding to him. It's a back and forth communication. So prayer should not be a burdensome thing. It should be part of our life that we are desiring to know him, because he knows everything about us. Because he even says before you, even Jeremiah, he said, you know, talks about even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. He knows every one of us. He wants us to desire him. And so as we get to know him, we start to desire him more and more. And then it doesn't become works, or it doesn't become like I have to do it, but it's a response of I want to do this because of my love for the Lord. Right? So when I do something, it's out of my love for him. Like when I do something for my kids, it's not something I'm expecting back. It's because my love for them, I want to do that for them. It's a desire that I want. It is your the motivation behind it. What is the motivation behind your prayer? You know, prayer is a way of walking in love, trusting, relying, and abiding in the Lord. Prayer aligns us with the will of God. It brings refreshing because you're spending more one-on-one time with him. When you spend time with the Lord, it just even taking a half hour and just be quiet. I know some of us, it's a hard time to be quiet for a half hour. But it's good to be quiet. If you have trouble, put duct tape on. No. But when we enter in prayer with the Lord, if you even, from my experience, it's just what I've been learning and just been, if you have a hard time getting into the presence of the Lord, just put on a couple worship songs. And then even then have that prayer sheet or another prayer or whatever and just start praying. Or just say, Lord, I am so dry and so weary. Lord, I desire that you would speak to me. And maybe within a few minutes after your mind is calmed down and you know, just meditating on the Lord, he'll say something. He might give you a word. He might give you a scripture. He might just say, you know, this is, he might pinpoint something. But I know he will say a word. He might give you a scripture. You might even just know there's a peace that comes. That's when we're in the presence of God Almighty. When your heart becomes so at peace, you're just so relaxed. You know, prayer is being confident in the one who created you, who gives you breath, who gives you peace no matter the situation that you're facing. I always remember, you know, Jesus in the boat with the disciples. He was asleep. Right? Even Jonah, you know, the ship was going astray. He knew it was God, but he was in the bottom of the boat hiding out. He wasn't frantic. He wasn't running around, right? He was still at peace, but he knew that he was running away from God. When the disciples were in the boat, they were freaking out because they didn't have their faith in Christ. God brings peace and in our circumstances when we are abiding in him. Does that make sense? So I was kind of praying about what should I speak about this week, Lord? And I just even get a sense of mindsets.
Mindset?
A mindset. We get a mindset. You know, it's a mindset would be like an attitude. And we all have attitudes to some degree or another. Right? So how these mindsets and attitudes, they build or reinforce certain traits or character habits that operate in our life. Do you ever see a trait, a character trait, a mindset? It builds a character, a certain character, or a trait in your life. So whatever you are thinking, right, will eventually become a habit. Yeah? So, you know, it's a way how you think about your life. It involves more than ability to think or form thoughts. It has to do with the way you see God, the way you see truth, the way you see others, the way you see yourself. It's a collection of all of these presumptions or assumptions that guide the way you think and choose and live. So attitude, your attitudes or even what your thoughts play a big part in how we respond and how we react and how we live. Right? And when we become more aware of our attitudes, because sometimes we have destructive attitudes. We have destructive attitudes. When I went to my mentoring course I'm still doing, we dealt with a lot of wrong thinking, you know, breaking destructive attitudes could be anger, empathy, argumentative, arrogance, controlling fear, envy, jealousy, greed, hatred, judgment, judgmental thoughts, laziness, materialism, negativity, complaining, people-pleasing, fear of man, perfectionism, pride, procrastination, racism, revenge, sarcasm, self-pity, self-righteousness, unbelief, unforgiveness, vengeance. Those are destructive attitudes. And God wants us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal those destructive attitudes in our lives, so we don't think that way anymore, right? Our attitudes affect how we think and how we live and how we behave. Even though you're a child of God, you're still a child of God. But God wants to deal with those attitudes, those destructive attitudes. He wants to deal with the things in your life. And you know, and as we spend time with the Lord in prayer, He will reveal different aspects of your life that He wants to deal with. So if we're afraid to get into the presence of God, we're not going to change. We could pray and ask the Lord, change me, change me, change me. But you're not yielding. You're not abiding. You're not trusting in Him that He has His best interests in your life. It takes a bit of, He does the work, but it's us yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's the time being spent with Him. Because He only gives you what you can handle in a certain season. Because even for myself, for being in the Lord for, you know, 20 years, I still deal, the Holy Spirit still speaks to me about attitudes and bringing back, where did that root of that attitude, where was that attitude formed in my life? Right? It's actually dealing with not the fruit of it, but actually the root of it. It's going to the very source of that root. Because if you pluck the root right out, it removes the whole plant. And it removes anything else that could grow in that area. And so when you get those lies, those different attitudes plucked out, we fill it with the Word of God. Right? So then that that thing won't grow back. And I think sometimes we have this thing, we wonder, why, Lord, am I not growing? Maybe it's something subconsciously that we don't even know that we have this attitude about. That it's so deep in our being that we don't know nothing about it. But it's when we spend time with the Lord and asking Him to search your heart and to reveal anything that's in our heart that needs to be dealt with. And then He will reveal it to you. And as we ask through different processions of, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me about? Do I have an offense, or do I have a wrongful attitude, and He'll say, yes. And then He'll say, maybe pride. He might say unbelief. He might say whatever it is. But then you go, Lord, take me deeper. Where did that come from? Where did that start? And it's going through the steps of actually start being healed in the inner, in your life. Right? We have so much brokenness, and we're always just kind of dealing with the fruit of the situations, but never really dealing spiritually with the very inner healing of a person. Hopefully that making sense. Right? Because if I'm not, I could elaborate more. But it's being intentional. Why do I have this attitude? Where is this attitude coming from? Lord, what are you trying to speak to me about? In Numbers 13, I was like, man, it's amazing what God reveals. So Numbers 13. If I could find Numbers 13. You know, the Lord said to Moses, in 13:1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, send some of the men to explore the land of Cana, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So what did the Lord say to Moses? What promise did God give to Moses in the very first two verses?
Possession of the land of Canaan.
Okay, good. So remember that. He said, I'm going to give you this. And so what Moses did was he gathered 12 leaders from each tribe, and they went out. And so they for 40 days, they went to the land, checked it out. They seen the giants, right? They were tall people, the big fortresses. They even came upon the fruits, and there was grapes that were, they took two men to carry them. There was a stick, the two men carried it, got a stick, and they put this the grapes on the stick to carry it out, because it was so huge. So I'll read it, Numbers 13. 26. So at the end of the 40 days, they returned to the exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Parnah. They were reported to them, and the whole assembly showed up and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses an account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. So they brought evidence back of the fruit that God said would be in this place. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we saw, and we even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Nineveh, Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, we can attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it." It's talking about how big it is, how big the trees are, how big the everything in the land is so big. And they're like grasshoppers, like, "Man, look at us, we're just tiny." But what happened? In the very first two verses, God said, "I will give you this land." So what happened? What was their? It was their mindset. Doubts, right? God said, "I will give you this land." That was a promise. And I think about all the promises God gives us in His Word. He gives us so many promises. And we don't take hold of them because of what? Unbelief and doubt. And say, "Well, that can't be for me. Lord, look how terrible a person I am." But you have to remember, who are you in Christ today? You're a new creation. When you gave your life to Jesus, and you said, "Lord, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to depend on you." You became a child of God. So as a child of God, now you have all these promises are yes and amen through Christ. Now we become more than conquerors through Christ. He gives us all things necessary in life through the knowledge of Christ. He gives us all things necessary for life and godliness. He gives us all those things. But yet when we see things happening in the physical, we get fearful instead of saying, "Lord, I'm going to pray, and Lord, that I will see these things how you see them." Caleb was the only one who says, "Man, I believe what God says. We could take this land. God is on our side because we are following God. He is leading us. Look all the victories that God has given us so far. And if he is saying that, go and take this land, let's not be disobedient and allow fear and doubt to enter in." Because look at the other 11 people. They went through the camp, and what? Imagine what happened to that camp now. They got fearful. They start worrying. They're like, "Oh, yeah, man, that's so true. I can't do that." Right? But what does God say? What did God say to Moses? "I will give you this land." He was showing the abundance of what this land will produce for his people. When we walk in abiding in Christ, our lives come abundant. Our lives are changed. We're no longer the people that we once were. We may deal with destructive attitudes, we might deal with destructive thoughts, but God is working in us. He is sanctifying us as we surrender to Him, as we spend time with Him. You know, our mind is the control center of our life. It's where we make decisions, and it's also how we respond. Right? In our minds, we make decisions. We see how our decisions, our thoughts, how they affect our life so far. Have you ever noticed how your attitudes and your thoughts have already, you know, what takes root in your life, how they have already come to be? If you have destructive attitudes and thoughts, you're going to be a very destructive person, a very hateful person. You're going to be a person that doesn't want to reach out and love people. If you're a bitter person, you have resentment, bitterness to somebody, you're going to produce that. But if you're a person after of Christ and saying, "Oh Lord, help me to be not that kind of person," your life will change and you will respond to people differently than how we do now. Right? He wants you to change. He is going to do that work in you, and you say, "Lord, here I am. Take me." We all have certain attitudes that the Lord wants to work out in our life, so that our thoughts become more like His thoughts. That we cannot continue feeding our mind full of destructive attitudes, but feed on and meditate on the Word of God. Because the Word of God renews your mind. It renews it. When we meditate on it, it brings life and peace, assurance, hope, and encouragement and direction to our lives. That's what the Word of God does. This is why God says, you know, don't let my word leave you. Meditate on it. You know, I bet you when you took the donut, you're like, "Oh man, this is so sweet." I know some of us didn't take one. when we take some sweets, it should remind us how sweet the Word of God is. The Word of God is so sweet, so life-giving, it gives us hope. Because we can't muster any hope in us ourselves, right? Because if we try that, we get all miserable. But it's God that gives us hope. It is God that encourages you. It is God that directs your life, right? As parents, we know that our children are not always going to listen. But God, as parents, we encourage them and help them to make the right, better choices. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. He wants to encourage you to allow and to trust Him. You know, there are four areas of our lives that get sanctified. One is your mind. One is your emotions. Then our decision-making gets sanctified, and our body gets sanctified. That's all part of, sometimes we only ever talk about sanctification of the body. But God wants to sanctify your mind, your decision making, and just in your emotions. He wants to heal your emotions. In Romans 12,1-2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing perfect will." Isn't that amazing? God says He wants you, do not conform any longer to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. And how do we renew our minds? Reading the Word of God. Spending time with Him. To actually read the Word of God. And I'm not saying read so many chapters. You might only read one verse. But allow that verse. Ask God to say, "Lord, when I'm reading this, when I'm reading your word, let it come alive to me. Let your word come, be illuminated so I know it's you that's speaking to me. It's not how much I can read, but allowing the word to actually renew our mind. Right? Renewing your mind is so important. Because what we watch affects who we are. If I'm watching garbage, it's going to affect me. What I listen to will affect me. What I choose to read will affect me. In Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4:20 says, you however did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you have heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off. That's something that we do. It's a choice that we do. God enables us to do it, but we have to choose to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes in your minds. So when we put off this old destructive way, we're going to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. Isn't that amazing? So when we're feeding the old nature, the flesh, all we're doing is giving them more of a stronghold in our life so that we cannot walk in the freedom of the new, of who we're supposed to be now. So put off the old self. To be made new in the attitudes of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It is a decision that we make. I can't make it for you. I can't say that I can show you and help teach you and lead you and mentor, but it's a personal decision that we all have to make. It's a choice in our with our mind. It's an attitude. Am I going to do this? Right? And so when you think about it, you know, when we put our hope, our faith, and surrender to the Lordship of Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us and helps us, enables us to do it. Because the Holy Spirit gives us a new, he renews us. He gives us a new purpose, a new focus in life, new desires in our life. He changes how we speak. He will change how we react. And sometimes we're going to react negative at times. Right? But he wants to give us assurance. When we trust him, he's going to give us assurance. You know, we're still responsible for our part. That's the truth in it, because we just read it in Ephesians 4:20. It's up to us to put off the old. It's up to us to put on the new. God gives us all things. God God says he has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. He's given us all things necessary. It's at our disposal. It's like a person who's a tradesperson and he has his tool bag and going to work and forgetting his tool bag at home. Can he do his job? God has given us everything that we need for this life. But a lot of times we choose not to grab hold of it. And we kind of do things on our own will, on our own strength. And that's why we get so tired and burnt out and so weary. And why we get so frustrated. And why we're so angry. But it's when we take hold of the goodness of the gospel, where it revives us, gives us hope and aim and purpose, then we could actually say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to do this. Not because it's out of obligation, it's because out of love. I don't do this because of obligation. It's when God has called you to do something, he wants you to do it for him, to glorify him. We all have different spiritual gifts, and he wants us to trust him. So one of the biggest I'll read in Proverbs 4:23, we'll say that. It says, above all, Proverbs 4:23-20 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far away from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's amazing the wisdom that's in the word of the God, of our holy God. He gives us this tool to help us. In 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish, so this is says we, right? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make obedient to Christ. When we are getting bombarded with thoughts, we have a choice. And we remember Ephesians 6, the armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation for protecting our minds. So when those thoughts come, they won't penetrate because when we have that helmet on, it's actually being in the Word of God. It's a whole part of the whole armor of God is so vital to our life that if we're remembering that and those thoughts come and those attitudes, we say, no, that doesn't line up to the Word of God. I'm not going to think on that anymore. Lord, I ask that you protect my mind. Lord, let me have pure thoughts. Let me have your thoughts. Right? Because a lot of times we have those thoughts because of things that we watch and read and listen to and the people that we hang out with. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley, and I like what he said. He said this: we sow a thought and reap an action. We sow an action, reap a habit. We sow a habit and reap a character. And we sow a character and reap that fruit. Our thoughts have consequences which will direct us in our life. What we think and meditate on will become visible in our life. It's so true. When we allow thoughts and we meditate on those wrongful thoughts, It will come out in our life. If we meditate on the Word of God, that will come out in our life. So what do we meditate on? What do we meditate on? You ask the Lord, Lord, what am I meditating on? Do you have a mindset or a thought that is hindering your walk with the Lord? You could ask the Lord, Lord, do I have a mindset or a thought that is hindering my walk with you today? It's always a good question. I ask the Lord that. You know, when you ask that and God reveals something, it's for your benefit. I know a few weeks ago I asked that same question and God, it was amazing how it brought freedom in my life. And I even see how things in my life have changed because of that. You know, have you ever pondered, where will these thoughts lead me? So the thoughts that you get, have you ever pondered where they will lead you? And then are these thoughts scriptural that you're hearing? Are these thoughts I'm playing with in my mind, are they scriptural? Do they even line up to the Word of God? If not, then I got to think of 2 Corinthians 10:5. Right? We demolish arguments and everything, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive of every thought to make obedient to Christ. It is God, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be able to do this. But it's us saying, Lord, I'm going to yield to this, and I'm going to allow and trust you to work on this in my life. Right? It should be exciting because then we will have freedom in our lives. We will be more joyful. We will be more just more happy, joyful. You know, the Word says that we are supposed to make others who don't know the Lord envious and jealous of what we have. And if when God sets you free from something, aren't you not going to be happy and satisfied and overjoyed? Maybe you've been battling with something for so long and you get set free from that. Isn't that something you could say, you know what, this is what I see, maybe that you're going through the same thing, but God set me free from this. I have victory in this because of Christ. Isn't that something to share to others, how God can set you free from, or he has set you free from? And then I'll close with this. Will these thoughts and habits, actions, develop godly character in me so that I will walk in obedience to God? You know, God has a purpose for his children, and that's to learn to abide in him as we continue to trust him and allow our faith to grow in him. And so I know that's a lot. If we have destructive attitudes, we could pray with you. If you ever want someone to talk to, you could come and talk to me privately or whatever. But it's I want to encourage us that God wants to help sanctify our thoughts. He wants to encourage you to walk hand in hand with him, to be actually set free. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in us even right now and how you are revealing things, attitudes or destructive attitudes, mindsets, Lord, that maybe do not align to you, what your word says. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. And, Lord, that you would reveal to us the very root of it. And, Father, that we would not be afraid to step out and to trust you and to get things dealt with in our lives so we could be freed from those bondages that are operating in our lives even right now. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to encourage all of us. And Lord, that our minds be set on you today and tomorrow and every day. Lord, just help us, because I know I need you more every day, and I know we all need you more every day. So Lord, we just want to praise you and just ask the Holy Spirit to just reveal things in our lives that you want to deal with us, even today or maybe tomorrow. But Father, we would walk in obedience. Whatever you would point out, Lord, that we would get, we would say, thank you, Lord, for that, and I surrender that to you. And if I, Lord, if I have to forgive somebody, or Lord, if I have to, whatever, Lord, but just help us not to just push it off to the side, but Father, help us to deal with what you're speaking to us about today. In Jesus' name, amen.